Morning, brethren and sisters. Today's topic that I'll be speaking on is love, joy, and peace. What do all these have in common? Well, they're all part of the fruits of the Spirit that we're going to be talking about this weekend. So first, we'll talk about love. What is love? We probably all use the word in different ways, occasion, and frequencies. As we know, there are three different types of love that we read about. And many years ago, we had a study weekend on it. We have the Philia, Eros, and Agape love. We read about love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 7. Describes love a little bit. Love is never tired of waiting. Love is kind. Love has no envy. Love has no high opinion of itself. Love has no pride. Love's ways are either fair. It takes no thought for itself. It is not quickly made angry. It is no account of evil. It takes no pleasure in wrongdoing, but has joy in what is true. Love has the power of undergoing all things, having faith in all things, hoping all things. So let's talk about these three types of love. First, we'll talk about the filial love, which is the type of love we should have towards friends, family, most commonly seen between them. We see this love most of the time between best friends, parents, kids, brothers and sisters, well, some of the time. As I mentioned, family, which means all of us, as we are all one family, not through blood, but through Christ. We're all brothers and sisters. I know it can be hard for us all to get along sometimes, but we need to find this love, for it'll make a better time and better relationships if we can all find this love for each other, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and try our best to get along. As at the end of the day, we all have the same goal of entering into the kingdom. Romans 12, verse 10, I thought was a good verse. I'm going to read it in the KVJ, and then a different translation since I like both of them. So in the KJV, it's be kindly afflicted one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. I'm going to read it in the second translation now. I think it was the ESV. Love one another with brotherly affliction. Outdo one another in showing honor. So that's that love that we need to have towards our brothers and sisters. We read of this filial love in 1 Samuel chapter 18, start in the first four verses. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and he would let him go, and he let him go not more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David and his garments, even his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. Here we see the love, this love that we were talking about between Jonathan and David. It said Jonathan loved David and gave him his soul, and they made a covenant. I'd like to take a guess that most people in this room have had someone in their life with this type of relationship that's not a spouse. It's just someone that you could look up to. They may or not still be with us, but it is someone that you have a very close relationship with. Maybe a parent, a grandparent, a Sunday school teacher, or someone else that you're not really, I guess parents and grandparents you'd be related to, but it may be someone that you're not really even related to, that you have a good loving relationship with, someone that you can trust, will always be there to help you out when you need it, offering a loving hand and support. Someone you can go talk to that's always has advice on, can always give you advice on stuff. This is the type of love that it seems like in friendship Jonathan and David had for each other. 1 John 3:16, by this we know love, that he had laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Again, talking brotherly love there that we should have for each other. Second type of love we'll talk about is the Eros love, which is physical love. This is more of a husband and wife type love. We see this love in the very beginning with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were Eve was made from Adam, and they were both brought together in the garden, and we see a bond grow between them, a bond of trust and love. We see them multiply as they were commanded to. Third type of love is the agape love, which is the unconstitutional love, type of love we should have for God, His Word, and the Bible. When I was looking at some different definitions of agape love, there was one definition that, or there were a few I didn't agree with, but there was one that I felt that it was important to touch on, even though we did not agree with it. It was saying how agape love is being accepted and non-judgmental, which is true. This is how we should be. But at the same time, we need to draw a line somewhere. We cannot be accepting the things God hates. We must keep ourselves separate from that. We see this a lot nowadays in churches. They just accept anyone and everyone through their doors and are almost they look down upon churches and stuff like that do not allow everyone in their doors, or if you don't let someone in because of what they believe, and are teaching false doctrines, then it's a shame on you, is what the churches of the world think, where we got to keep the word pure, keep the error out. We have an excellent example of agape love with Abraham. When God commands Abraham to sacrifice his son, as I was writing this, I was kind of thinking the different types of love we see with Abraham in the story. He waited and got a son after many years whose name was Isaac, and he loved him. This is the filial love that we talked about just a minute ago, between family. But then we see Abraham displaying his agape love for God when he is commanded to go kill his only son. The part that I also kind of found interesting about that was his love was so much for God with his agape love that he didn't even question going, and he had the faith that God would provide, but he went to go kill his only son with that agape love for God. These are the three types of love. Let's just talk about love in general for a few minutes now before moving on to talk about joy. Love should be something, as mentioned, we all have towards everyone. It'll be on different levels depending on the person and the relationship we have with them, but there should be no room for hatred in our hearts. We should have our hearts full of love for each other, but most importantly, we should show wholeheartedly love for God, like Abraham did with his agape love and his word and God's word. We can do this by listening and following God's commandments he gives us and through our thoughts and actions. One last thing on love that I think it is important to touch on. And I think it would help a lot of problems if people went into a mindset like this, is when someone sees someone doing something wrong or something that they don't 100% agree with, they tend to go jump all over them, screaming, yelling, getting all up in their face, telling them how wrong they were and in a rude way. The way that we should approach this is we should go talk to that person in a loving relationship out of kindness as we are trying to help them and see what they're doing is wrong and not go jump all over them, but do it in a loving relationship. Now, the same goes for the person being talked to. A lot of people, when they get talked to, they get real defensive right off the bat. The person that's getting talked to, they should think that this person is coming to them out of love and kindness, trying to help correct them in their ways out of love. Now, it can go either way with this example. Some people can make a big deal out of nothing, or some people can overreact about being spoken to. But I think if it's done out of love and people try and receive it out of love, then you'll have a lot better relationship and not take as much offense to it, as we're all trying to help each other. John 13, verse 34 and 35. A commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Romans 5, verse 8. But God commanded his love towards us in that while we are sinners, Christ died for us. That's the love we need to have towards each other. Joy. Joy. Strong's defines joy as a blissfulness or glee, exceeding gladness. What do you think when you hear the word joy? What brings you joy? When I think of joy, I think of someone being happy. I think most of the time I hear people use the word joy or are joyous is when they find out someone is getting married, someone is having a kid, someone has been or is being baptized, or a number of different reasons. And there's different variations, I'd say, of how joyous people can be. As I mentioned, a joyous occasion is when someone is having a child. Well, we read about this in Genesis 21, verses 1 through 7, again with Abraham and Sarah being told by an angel that they will have a kid. Just read those verses real quick. Genesis 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when he had his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have gotten child suck, for I have borne him a son in his old age. God brings joy through unexpected blessings. The name Isaac means laughter, I found out. Sarah found joy in the unexpected and long-waiting blessing of her son. Of course, she felt happy after finally receiving a child she had longed for, but her deep joy came in recognizing that God's timing was best. We should use this as an example, since life almost never turns out the way we imagine it. We always have to be on the lookout for hidden blessings. This may come in a surprise gift, connection, or experience, but it is also may be simple by recognizing God in all the surroundings around us. Sarah probably thought she would never have a kid that late in life, but God brought her this blessing when she least expected it, and she was ready to receive the child with joy. We also see joy with Elijah. In 1 Kings 17, it reads, and it came to pass after these things that the son of a woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was sore, that he had not breathed, not no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Thou art came unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son. And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him into a loft where he abode and laid him on his own bed. And he carried unto the and he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times, and he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he received. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber and into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the widow said to Elijah, by this I know that thou art a man of God, and the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is truth. Can we imagine the joy that this mother had when she found out her son was going to live after being on his deathbed? I think the closest thing that we could relate to is when someone is severely ill with a disease like cancer, has a severe heart attack, or some severe episode, whatever it may be, and are in bad shape. And then we find out that they are able to pull through. Same thing with a bad car accident. Just never know what's going to happen, and see God work and the joyous we have when we find out that person is doing better. It's the closest I think we can relate to the story. We should look at Paul as an example. Paul faces many hardships, including prison, beating, being a shipwreck in a storm, and lashes. But he also speaks of joy. His joy comes from many sources, especially from when he was forced his thoughts. In Philippians 1, verse 14, we read of Paul, and most of the brethren, having become confident in the word by my imprisonment, are also more bold to speak of the word without fear. So the joy Paul had seeing that people got stronger from him being imprisonment Philippians 4, verse 12, we read more. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing penalty and hunger and abundance and need. Again, Paul found joy in everything. All his trials he had, it seems like he found joy, which is hard to do when we're in low points in our life like he was. We see in these few examples all the stories we know of Paul found joy in God's word. And even here in these two examples I just gave you, he finds peace in God's word. Even in the hardest of times he had gone through, this is how we should be, always trying to find joy and peace in God's word, especially at the hardest of times. He always seemed to find that joy and peace. So let's transition and talk on peace in the last part of this talk. Peace. When I think of peace, there's a few different peaceful things I think of, but one that stands out is when I used to live up here and just hiking around in the fall or kayaking on the water. You get to a spot in the trail, or you just stop kayaking and you're just sitting there on the water, where the water is just still as can be. There's not much noise, and the water's so still that you can see the reflection of the trees in the water. Like it's just a glass, and it's just like a picture of the trees right there in the water. Maybe a few birds flying around, you hear some deer or something running around. That's what I picture of peace. Or even, I'm thinking about it, going down on a morning walk down to the bridge at high, or even at night looking up at the stars. That's peace to me, where there's just not much going on, you're not thinking of much, and it's just nice and calm. I'm sure if I asked everyone what peace meant to them, they would have a different answer. Some it might be sitting in their houses, just with no one around, just relaxing, maybe studying. Some might say it's peaceful at gatherings. I think it is important that we all try and find what gives us peace and try and get as much peace as we can as often as we can. It can be hard with all the cell phones and everything going on. I find that when I go somewhere and lose cell phone service, or I'm disconnected from a group of people or whatever, I don't worry about much of what's going on, and it is what it is. I'll deal with it later. But at the same time, as soon as you get back to in service, getting cell service back, or get back into the crowd of people or wherever, get back to the office, that peaceful time is over, and it seems like it ends really quick. It may not even be a call or text. You may get back home and see a news headline, or go get your mail and you see a bill that came up that you were unexpected, that needs attention, and you therefore lost your peace trying to figure out how you're going to pay for this or whatnot. I think in the current world we live in, with all the news and all the politics, it seems like an unpeaceful place, and sometimes even hard to try and think about trying to find peace. But we do have to remember that everything is going, every, with everything going on in the world, is all in God's hands. And we must remember that it will be a peaceful place that one day we hope to be a part of. Jacob and Esau were brothers. We see peace in with them because Esau should have had the better birthright, but Jacob tricked Esau into taking his birthright. And later, Jacob stole his father's blessing from Esau. Esau was very mad, and Jacob left for many years. When Jacob was ready to return, he was very nervous. How could he be at peace with his brothers when he had done so many wrong things? Would they be able to live peacefully together again? When they met, Jacob tried to give or tried to make peace with Esau, but Esau forgave him. This is a good example of peace between two brothers after years of being angry and apart. John 14, Jesus is talking to his disciples shortly before he is crucified. He knows that they will be scared, but he promises them, even though he will leave them, he promises them, "Peace I leave you with, peace I will give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled." He doesn't promise his disciples a peaceful, easy life when they will where they will relax and never experience conflict, but he does promise them that they have a chance to live together peacefully one day when Christ returns. This means that no matter what they face, that they may have a chance. This gives them trust, true peace, not a peace based on their situation, but peace in the long run. We can share the same peace when we believe in Jesus as we do. Like you said, need to find peace in God's word and peace that in the kingdom it'll be nice and peaceful. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Matthew 5, verse 9, We see an example of peacemaker. That was Matthew 5, verse 9. We see an example of a peacemaker in 1 Samuel 29. During the time when David was running from King Saul, he sent some of his men to ask the landowner, Nabal, to share some food and supplies. Nabal was mean and said no and insults David. He was told his men to get ready to fight, but Nabal's wife, Abigail, was wise and kind, and she took David's supplies and food and encouraged him not to attack Nabal in revenge. David thanked her for stopping the attack and keeping the peace. Also, if you think of the time of Noah, when the earth was flooded, as we know, he was commanded to build an ark, and he got his family into the ark, and the door was shut. He didn't really know much of what was going on. He just knew the earth was going to be flooded. Didn't know for how long or any time or anything about it. Now you start hearing the rain come down when you're in the ark. If you think about it, and you see the water start to rise. You're hoping that the ship holds together as it should, but you never know. You have all these animals on board. You don't really know how much, if you brought enough supplies and whatnot. You don't really know much of what's going on. But Noah and his family found peace being on the ark. Let's see. Sorry, I lost my spot here. I imagine that Noah's family even found more peace when they sent the bird out and it came back with a branch, which showed a sign that the water was going down. And they probably found even more peace when they got off the ark and saw the rainbow. That was God's promise that he would never flood the earth again after being on that ark with all those animals as they were. So in conclusion, I think it is important that we have to have love for God, and that our love for God is the agape love, and is important for us to have joy and but also find peace in God's word, and also let ourselves be at peace and in God's hands, and that we hope to all have a spot in his kingdom where everything will be nice and peaceful and joyous, and we can have love for one another. Psalm 68, verse 3 reads, "But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God, yea, let them exceedingly rejoice." Thank you.